Good morning, Nashville. Happy Saturday here on this final weekend of October. Fours Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Jake Lyman. Connor Newt. Nick Frazier alongside you. Here from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios.
I hope everyone is up now.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
You just woke everyone in.
Well, I started off slow. The stadium pulse was high because I couldn't hear myself, and then we went all the way up. So,
all the way up.
We're good. We're good. Gentlemen, how are we? The shackles are back on, as you guys said. I am back. I heard you say that. I was like, damn, I don't... I keep you guys. I let you guys do whatever you want, pretty much around here. But
We missed you. How was your Appalachian Trail hike?
It was fantastic.
Wherever the heck you were.
I got to see the Hokies get a win against BC.
Hey,
back
Connor,
on Thursday.
There's something that we didn't know about this guy. I don't know if you know about it or not.
I can think of a few things.
Take a wild guess. I'll give you three guesses.
You don't want that. You're engaged?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Jake. I didn't know that.
This man's engaged. Congratulations.
Yeah, I got engaged on Friday down there.
How'd you do it?
So I left early from Blacksburg, long story short, to take the Vanderbilt job. So I didn't go back for graduation. So my mom has been saying for years, like, next time we're all together in Blacksburg, we're going to do graduation pictures. So that was kind of the disguise, is we were doing graduation pictures all around campus. We ended at the football stadium, and the last picture, I got down on one knee.
Look at that.
Yeah. So that was the reason for the trip last weekend.
I don't know why that popped in my head. I was like, you know what? You look a little brighter today than usual.
Did you get a haircut?
I got a haircut before. I did not get a haircut recently.
Everyone around here is getting married. What's going on?
I know.
You're married. He's about to be married. Nick Kieser's married.
Not me. No, not me.
I'm a little young for that.
I'm enjoying life right now. It's been great.
Who's next?
You know what makes
Charles McCabe?
You know what makes Jake Lyman different?
Suit.
Look at that polo.
I know. Yeah.
The design of that polo. Vanderbilt's got some good polos.
It's gear season.
It is.
Yeah.
You're in your bride gear.
I am. This is my white
bridal
dress.
Gear.
Yes.
Bold of you to wear white on a rainy day like today. But
yeah, well, I've worn black to every other Vanderbilt game. I thought I would switch it up. So
throw in some gold.
But the gold with the khaki pants, it clashes a little bit.
Yeah.
So speaking of Vanderbilt, Andrew Allegretta is going to join us in the next segment talking about Vanderbilt and Texas as we get set for that one. You can hear that up on 94.9 The Fan with pregame coverage starting at 1:30. Let's get into headlines. Let's start with Connor Newt. Why don't you get us going?
I'm going to take the one that everyone wants to do, and it's going to be great. Frederick Freeman.
Yeah.
How about it? Dodgers and Yankees going to extras, tied 2-2. Yankees take the lead in the top of the 10th. And then let's load the bases. Intentional walk on Mookie Betts to load it. Freddie Freeman, first pitch, he knew it. It was gone. This is going to be a fun series, man. It's not often in the World Series you actually get the two legitimate best teams in baseball. It's always whoever's, you know, the hottest. Like last year, it was, you know, the Diamondbacks were on a rampage and the Rangers were too, and those were probably the two hottest teams in baseball. But this year is different because we get the two best, like top to bottom roster, best pitching rotations in baseball, best hitting lineups. It's going to be fun. Frederick Freeman. Who would have thought?
I'm just curious, like, when will pitchers know not to throw inside to lefty batters?
Yeah, like, grooved him a fastball.
I thought he hung a curve at first, and then I watched it again. I was like, no. He just threw a fat one right down the middle.
Yep.
I
mean,
it's right in his wheelhouse. It made no sense as to what Nestor Cortez was thinking. It had to have been, like, a missed location for sure. But
not so nasty Nestor.
No.
What a great pitcher. Nestor Cortez.
As I was producing the game last night, obviously Brandon Aldridge, one of our producers,
yeah,
is a big Yankees fan. And
he fell to his knees and just started crying.
Just about. All I could hear was a giant this, and then along with a head, not a head, but his helmet, or not helmet.
Helmet?
His hat flying around the room.
That's my commitment goodness. If you're wearing a helmet.
He needs to wear a helmet.
Listen, my brain is all over the place.
What'd you
morning.
Respond with? Get back to work, Brandon? I need my highlight mix?
No, I didn't. I was like, it's okay, Brandon. They'll get him next game. They'll get him next game. I was the very sincere person about it. I was like, it'll be all right. They'll bounce back.
Quickly, how many Hall of Famers are playing in this series? We won't count Clayton Kershaw because he's not playing. But I would say you could make an argument for on the Yankees, Judge could be a Hall of Famer, Soto, Stanton, Cole, possibly.
Yep.
And then on the Dodgers, Freeman, Ohtani, maybe even Mookie.
Yeah, for sure Mookie.
Like that's you could have seven. I think not all of them are surefire Hall of Famers, but there's an argument that you've got seven Hall of Famers playing in the series, and obviously Clayton Kershaw, he is a surefire Hall of Famer, but he is
the Dodgers are. I hate that organization. I'll be fully transparent, but there are so many guys on there I love, like Frederick. I'm gonna keep calling him Frederick because it's funny. How can you not love Ohtani? How can you not love Mookie Betts? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you and I have invested interest in one Tommy Edman.
Yes.
Who is a former Cardinal, just got traded over there.
You know.
But I want to
Jack Flaherty.
And
as
Jack
well.
Flaherty. Yeah.
Hey.
But I like
former Tiger Jack Flaherty.
But yeah, hey. Former Tiger.
Hey.
Do the Tigers get a World Series ring if he wins?
Is
nice, that how that works?
It? Maybe. It'd be nice.
Everyone does.
Nick Frazier, headline.
Yeah, you know, when I was producing the Preds game last night, obviously Brady Shea scored the game winner 3-2 as they came from behind. I mean, they were down 2-0. A very pivotal point in that game where there was a challenged goal. There was an offsides. So that's probably my big highlight of the night, or I guess highlight of the day for the headline would be Brady Shea. He's been everything that the Preds have needed since, you know, starting the season. And, I mean, you sign big-name players and you want big-name plays. That's a big name play.
It was cool to see them get the win last night because it didn't start the way they wanted it to, for sure. Came back, got the win, back-to-back victories, and you hope they can keep it on track against Columbus later on today. And we'll talk about the Preds coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. Jake Wallman, what is your headline this morning?
I'm going to go with something that is a little bit old in the news in the sports world this week. Chris Stewart, who is the play-by-play voice of the Alabama Crimson Tide. They do a Zoom.
I saw this.
They do kind of like what we do with the webcams and stuff. They broadcast their
inside the booth.
Yeah, inside the booth broadcast for Alabama games. And in the middle of the broadcast, he said that Tennessee pumps in crowd noise. And, you know, that's interesting because not only does Tennessee pump in crowd noise, crowd noise is illegal in college football like that. You can't pump in crowd noise. And so not only does he say that on Monday, on Tuesday he comes back and doubles down and said, well, I didn't mean really to say that they pump in crowd noise, but they use speakers that are pointed towards the field to amplify the noise in the stadium, which is also wrong because the speakers are not pointed towards the field. They're pointed towards the crowd that amplifies the band music and stadium with, you know, the music in
which
stadium.
Every college in the nation
right.
uses.
Yeah.
Alabama has those speakers inside their own stadium. So, and plus, they're making trips to Knoxville every other year. So if you're going to a stadium every other year like Alabama does, you would think that at some point you would know whether they pump in crowd noise or not. So that's my headline that Chris Stewart made an absolute fool of himself this week.
It's not often I defend the Vols, but I'm with you.
Yeah, it wasn't a good look.
Yeah,
you're telling me that the Neyland Stadium, basically PA producer that does all of the up and downs of stadium noise and or the music, is basically playing it at a higher decibel than he's supposed to?
No.
That's the accusation.
The accusation is that they are amplifying their crowd noise to make it sound louder in there.
Correct, but why are we disagreeing that it is true?
Because it's not.
It's not.
No, it's illegal. You can't. You not illegal. Against the rules.
I'm just doing it just to get under Jake. I just want to see his reaction. Look at him. He's smirking. He's like, this guy.
He's redder than he usually is.
I hate his comments. Why does he say this about the Vols?
No, you've defended the Vols more than once this year, so you can.
I mean, I haven't gone 11-1.
That's so true.
Who's of the three of us, who's on the Vols hit list?
Probably you.
Yeah. That's right. I wear that.
I'll
although Vols
soon.
Twitter loves me for some reason. I don't know why.
They love you more than WKU Twitter.
Oh,
which is
God. WKU Twitter does not like me.
Vols Twitter hates David Janes, by the way. Did you see that?
I didn't know that.
That blew up.
David tweeted, like, I hate seeing Tennessee fans this happy, and like 100 Vols fans hopped in his comments. So
well, get used to it, David.
That's a good one, Jake. That was definitely a weird situation with Chris Stewart this weekend. Quickly, I will, because I don't know what our show is going to look like next week with Vanderbilt football, I want to, as Jake Wallman said, I want a shameless plug. Vanderbilt women's basketball starts a week from Monday.
Hey!
I just want to give a quick preview. And, you know, if you're listening out there, you're a fan of good basketball, get out to Memorial Gym this year for some games. Vandy women's basketball going to be good. Coming off first NCAA tournament appearance in a decade, first NCAA tournament win in 11 years. Brought in a five-star McDonald's All-American freshman, Michaela Blakes. Mm. She's going to be fantastic. Two really good transfers, Jane Waba from Pepperdine. She's a four-year starter over there. And Leilani Kapanis, she's one of the best defensive players in Penn State history. Top 10 in blocks, top 10 in steals, and coming over for her graduate season. So, and returning everybody but Jordan Cambridge, which is awesome. Hey. So I can't wait for the season to start. We've got our Education Day game where they bus in all of the elementary schoolers.
Hey, that's great.
It's a cool atmosphere.
Like, I would have loved that in school.
It's 11 a.m. next Monday against Lipscomb. So November 4th, 11 a.m.
field trip
against Lipscomb. And yeah, you get all the field trips coming in there. It's a cool atmosphere. You got to take some Tylenol before because, you know, you might get a headache. But it is fun.
What do they do at halftime? Put them down for a nap?
I think they do some sort of like cool kid related like halftime show, like
puppet
something.
Show or something?
Yeah, something that keep maybe like frisbee dogs or something like that. I don't know. Something
oh,
that
oh, I'd be entertained by frisbee dogs.
I don't know what it is, but
and you know it'll be loud in there as well.
Exactly, it's a good atmosphere. So
they pump in crowd noises there.
So excited for that! And again, just a quick preview there. If you want to listen, we'll be on 94.9 The Fan every game, 15 minutes before tip-off. I'll have the pregame show. Should be a fun season. And then our first night game, if you want to come after work or after school, whatever, is November 8th, that Friday against Austin Peay. So lots to look forward to. Should be a fun season. I'll get my shameless plug out of the way there. And if we do have an extended show next week, if Vandy plays a little bit later, I can dive more into some of that stuff 2 days before the season. Those are our headlines. Connor, what is our question of the day today?
Okay, so I was driving in this morning, and I was just in a mental state thinking about sports, of course. And I like to listen to music on the way all the time, every day. So the Sabrina Carpenter song, the Please, Please, Please or whatever came on. And I was thinking, I was kind of listening to the lyrics and I was like, this is about the Titans in a way. Don't prove I'm right. So I got to thinking, my sports life is sad right now. Yeah. All my teams suck. So my question for our listeners out there is, what song perfectly describes your sports teams right now?
It's a good one.
And that's not my answer, but we'll get there.
We will get to our answers at the top of the 10 o'clock hour. If you'd like to answer, you can hit us on our text line, 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's a good question. I'm going to have to put some thought into that. What is...
And I'm banning lemonade mouth for you.
Can't use She's So Gone as...
Who's she? Amy?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. We will think about it, and we will give our answers at the top of the 10 o'clock hour. It's a good question. What song encapsulates how your sports teams are making you feel at the moment? 615-737-1025 is the phone number. When we come back, we'll be joined by the voice of the Commodores, Andrew Allegretta, going to preview Vanderbilt and Texas coming up later today from First Bank Stadium. That's up next. You're on Forrest Company, 1025, 1063, The Game. Fours Company, 1025, 1063, The Game. Happy Saturday morning. We are off and rolling. Wrapped up the headlines, and now we are pleased to be joined on our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com by the voice of the Vanderbilt Commodores, Andrew Allegretta. Andrew, how are we feeling this morning? It's got to be a nice feeling waking up knowing you're calling a ranked matchup over at First Bank today.
I mean, I'm doing great. I will say, Jake, I've never actually asked, are you at Lyman Jake because Jake Lyman was taken?
I believe so. I mean, I made my Twitter account when I was probably like 14 years old, so I don't remember exactly, but I think that is what it was, is Lyman, okay. Or Jake Lyman was taken.
There's another Jake Lyman roaming around the streets somewhere.
Somewhere out there.
I mean, I went with just A. Allegretta because Andrew Allegretta is ferociously long. so we've got to abbreviate it somehow.
Maybe I will see if I can switch it. Maybe the imposter Jake Lyman has gone away from his Twitter account. So maybe we'll see if we can change it. Andrew, big one over at First Bank Stadium today. Number 5, Texas. Number 25, Vanderbilt. Against Alabama a few weeks ago, Clark Lee said that he wanted to be a 10-possession game. He wanted to keep that offense off the field as much as possible. It ended up working exactly the way he hoped it would. Do you think that's the same game plan today against Texas?
I think that's the same game plan for Vanderbilt every single time. I mean, I think they talked about Vanderbilt's offense on the field and Ball State's offense off the field last week. I think you can play a team from the MAC or you can play a team ranked in the top five, and Vanderbilt's going to try to take that strategy into the ball game. So I've got no doubt that, you know, third down conversions will be ultra critical for Vanderbilt's offense. Remember, between the Alabama game and the Kentucky game, those back-to-back SEC wins, Vanderbilt was 20 for 31 on third down conversions offensively. If they're on the field and Texas is off the field, obviously things are going well for Vanderbilt.
We're talking to Andrew Allegretta, voice of the Vanderbilt Commodores. Andrew, Texas obviously has just an electric offense, maybe one of the best in the country. Struggled a little bit against Georgia last week, but they may come back with a fury this week. How well does Vanderbilt's defense stack up against this offense?
You know, that's a good question. There's a couple of questions that I have going into this game. First off is the overall health of Quinn Ewers. Now, Steve Sarkisian talked about it throughout the course of the week and said Ewers is totally fine, so on and so forth. But, you know, at times he has not looked sharp versus Oklahoma or versus Georgia. And then there's the fact that one of their best playmakers, Isaiah Bond, was listed as doubtful on their injury report. Not to say that they don't have tremendous assets beyond those two guys. They obviously do. There's some guy named Arch Manning that could come into the ballgame, and you have to be careful what you wish for in some of those situations. The other part of this for Vanderbilt is the fact that Langston Patterson and Miles Capers were both upgraded to, I believe, probable for Vanderbilt for this game, if not questionable, which at this point in time I think we kind of feel like is a go for those guys. So that's really significant. You're talking about two of Vanderbilt's best defensive players being available, and potentially one of the better playmakers for Texas being out in this game. Not to say that that's going to swing it, but those margins are critical. And really, guys, sometimes football becomes just brutally simplistic. And one of the things that Texas has struggled with throughout the course of this season is losing turnovers. They're 13th in the conference in turnovers lost. They've given up 12 of them so far this season through seven games. And if they give up two, three, four turnovers here today versus Vanderbilt, and Vanderbilt continues to protect the football, there's your extra possessions. There's your third down conversions going the right way for Vanderbilt. Again, right back to the same thing. If Vanderbilt's offense is on the field, Quinn Ewers, Arch Manning, whoever is on the sideline, then again, things have progressed well for Vandy today.
Andrew, on that same note about, you know, quarterbacks, if it's Arch Manning, if it's Quinn Ewers, you know, there was a report yesterday from Pete Nakos about Isaiah Bond being doubtful for today, along with a defensive back for Texas as well, who's been pretty pivotal for the last name. Hopefully I'm not butchering his name, but Andrew Makuba, if that sounds about right. But anyways, both of those guys have been pretty pivotal on the defensive side and the offensive side of the ball. I mean, that's got to bode well for Vanderbilt in some regard, right?
You know, I think in these games, guys, like you're going to take every edge that you can take. Like we're talking about a top 25 matchup inside First Bank Stadium, which is great. But at the same time, we recognize that Vanderbilt is still the underdog. And I do think Vanderbilt plays at its best when it's got that chip on the shoulder. Like there's part of me, frankly, that is somewhat pleased that they didn't perform very well versus Ball State, because that gave Clark Lee and Jerry Kill every piece of motivation that you could want to push those guys forward throughout the course of the week and perform better here today. I mean, like in Southeastern Conference play, you're going to take every single edge that you can get. But I also, again, I just like you look up and down the roster. It's like, oh no, the guy that's going to replace Quinn Ewers is, you know, a Manning, or the guy that replaces Bond is Wingo, who is the next best freshman wide receiver outside of Ryan Williams at Alabama. Like, you know, there's an interesting conversation about how name, image, likeness has, to an extent, minimized some of the depth for teams like Alabama, Georgia, and Texas, which is why I think you're seeing more diversity of results throughout the course of the year. But at the same time, those guys are still trotting out, like, you know, some other dude that was the number 4 nationally ranked wide receiver in his recruiting class. So you'll take what margins you can get, but you respect that the depth is still ferocious for Texas.
Andrew, I want to talk about, you know, you mentioned Texas's quarterbacks, but I want to talk about the quarterback that resides here in Nashville with Diego Pavia. When was the first time you saw him over the offseason in practice and said that, oh, I think we could really have something with this guy?
I'm going to be very, very honest. I don't think I felt that way until the Virginia Tech game. I remember watching him in practice and thinking, I hoped his skills translate to the SEC level. In fact, I remember watching some games of him with New Mexico State when I heard, oh, there might be this migration of people from Las Cruces to Nashville. And I go, boy, I hope the skill set translates to the SEC. And what I didn't account for and what I was wildly wrong about is that when Diego Pavia steps between the lines, he unleashes this unbelievable competitor, this sense of unique belief that just permeates the entire team. And I kind of failed to see exactly all of the ways that his football IQ is off the charts and his competitive streak is off the charts in fall practice. That's not to say that I thought he was bad, but we would kind of go back and forth and go, okay, here's Diego. He's the leader, but he doesn't run a 4.4. Here's Nate Johnson behind him. He does run a 4.4, you know, but he still needs to improve his accuracy. So there was some waffling in the first week or two of practice, at least, you know, in my eyes. That's not to say Coach Kill or Coach Beck or Coach Clark. It was just I didn't necessarily know what we had. And then Diego stepped between the lines versus Virginia Tech, and there was no doubt. Diego Pavia left no doubt on August 31st that he was the unquestioned leader of this team, and the way that he's carried it through the first seven games has been pretty special.
Andrew, you look at teams throughout Vanderbilt history, especially back in about 10 years ago, they've had some great wins, none compared to the ones that they've pulled off this year and could even pull off today. How does this Vanderbilt team stack up all time against those teams?
So, it's in the conversation. Now, the conversation certainly is not complete. You know, 1982, they won 8 games. And then there was some of those back-to-back seasons for James Franklin. So if they win today, it's their 6th win. We haven't started to scratch 8 wins or 9 wins for this team yet. I will say this. If they win today, Vanderbilt is bowl eligible on October 26th. I freely admit that I don't know how bowl eligibility worked back in 1955 and 1974 when they made their first a couple of bowl games, but I will tell you this, it would be the first time that they hit 6 wins in the month of October ever, not 82, not 2011, 12, 13 with James Franklin. This would be the season that they get to 6 wins and bowl eligibility in the month of October. Could it all crumble after that? Entirely possible. This conference is way too tough to just say, okay, they've beaten Bama. You know, if they can pull the upset today, they've beaten Texas, and they're going to cakewalk to wins versus Auburn, South Carolina, LSU, and Tennessee. That's absurd. It would be just their 6th win. But a victory here today certainly would nudge this group of Vanderbilt Commodores toward the very, very top of the all-time teams list in Vanderbilt history.
Andrew, last one for you. The one thing I've noticed this year compared to, you know, the last couple seasons that I've watched this team is that it felt like in the past when the momentum swung the other way, Vandy didn't have a punch back. This year, Virginia Tech comes all the way back, takes a 7-point lead in the fourth quarter. Vandy punches right back, sends it to overtime, wins the game. Alabama goes right down the field to start the second half to make it a 2-point game. Vandy doesn't flinch. What do you think the reason for that is? Is it the quarterback? Is it the change in the coaching staff? Or is it kind of a combination of all of it?
I do think, first off, Jake, it's like you spent plenty of time in our booth. Oh, wait, that's right, you have. I do think it's the quarterback. I really do. I think he has just absolutely instilled a sense of confidence in this group that has been completely unmatched from any quarterback, any player that I really feel like I've seen, certainly at Vanderbilt and perhaps at other places. Like, I've seen some good quarterbacks and still some confidence. You know, kind of the next closest that I can compare him to from that standpoint, guys, is honestly Michael Pratt, if you remember him from Tulane. Yep. When they beat USC a couple of years ago in the Cotton Bowl. Like, you know, Michael Pratt went on to be, I think he's a backup quarterback or like a third or fourth stringer, if he's even still with the Packers. Like, he wasn't this elite NFL prospect, but he just had a way about him that people followed him and believed. And Diego's got all of that as well. And there's a lot to be said about the coaching staff changes that have put the players in the right position. Clearly, Tim Beck's offense with Jerry Kill is really special. Really, really special. And the fact that Clark is back as the defensive coordinator is really significant. Like, that is two of the best OC and DCs in the Southeastern Conference right now. But I don't think any of it goes without Diego's sense of belief. So, if you're asking me kind of like what has buoyed this team, it's not just Diego, but man, it's hard. It's really hard to overstate how important Diego Pavi has been to just, I mean, everyone listening understands exactly the psychological hurdles that Vanderbilt football is up against. And Diego has come in here and just not cared and knocked down every single one of them and grabbed 100 of his brothers and moved them in the right direction.
It's true. Diego, he's been fantastic, and reasons he's getting put in the Heisman conversation for what he's done at Vanderbilt. Andrew, thank you for your time. Have a good call today. I will see you over there at First Bank shortly.
Yes, you will.
Thanks, Andrew.
See you guys.
Vanderbilt and Texas today in Nashville. Pre-game coverage on 94.9 The Fan starts at 1:30 and then kickoff at 3:15. It should be a fun one. We will react to what Andrew had to say coming up next and look at some other big games around college football going on today here on Four's Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Getting spooky on this Saturday morning.
Overrated holiday. You heard it here.
The Monster Mash.
No, not bad.
Force Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Tune into 102.5 and 106.3 The Game today, right after us at 11 a.m. for our college football game of the week, Oklahoma and Ole Miss. Presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports. You're not a Halloween guy, Connor?
Never been a Halloween guy.
I'm not a huge Halloween guy.
I mean,
we should have dressed up today for the show.
Oh, my God. No. I mean, if you were to ask me my top five holidays, Halloween would not crack it.
No, I'm with you.
Yeah. I mean, it's Christmas.
As a kid, I enjoyed Halloween, but like since I was 12, I really don't care all that much.
I was thinking about this the other day, how much Halloween kind of takes the center stage as a kid, because it's kind of like Christmas, where you get all these presents on Christmas and you're really looking forward to Christmas. As a kid, you're really looking forward to Halloween because it's the most candy you're ever going to get on one day in a single year.
I don't know. 4th of July for me was pretty big. I just loved
July.
The fireworks, man, would always get me
as
pumped
up. As an adult,
up.
I love 4th of July more.
I'm a bigger 4th of July guy.
As a kid, we always got Roman candles. And, like, you're not supposed to do this. Like, you know, point them at people.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, just as fun. Like, you're not pointing directly at somebody, but, like, off to the side, you know, like throwing a spoon.
You just incriminated yourself.
No.
Bottle rockets? Did you put them in cuffs?
We used to live out in a more rural area. So, yeah. I mean, we could set those off.
Then and you have those little things you throw? You
know, yes.
Little poppets?
Yeah.
We would literally be setting off fireworks in our front yard. And, like, one year, I'll never forget this. My dad said, yeah, we're not getting fireworks this year. And I was really, really upset. So, like a good parent, straps me in the back of the car. We go to Walmart. I get a car. cars. Like,
gotcha,
fireworks?
No. Like Hot Wheel cars.
Yeah.
But, like, Cars, the movie.
Like Lightning
McQueen.
McQueen.
Lightning McQueen.
Oh. Yeah.
Ka-chow.
You lost me there for a minute.
Well, as we always do, we go off on tangents on this show, Force Company. Big thanks to Andrew Allegretta for joining us in the Blast segment, talking about Vanderbilt and Texas. Top 25 matchup over there on West End coming up at 3:15. You can tune in on 94.9 The Fan at 1:30. Guys, do we think Vandy has a shot here to pull off another top five upset within a 3-week span at home? And as Andrew said, you lock up bowl eligibility with a win today, and you put yourself in a position where you're not out of the college football playoff conversation. I'm not saying it's likely, because yes, you'd probably have to beat LSU and Tennessee, but you put yourself in a spot where you have to talk about Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I mean, most certainly it makes the committee have to reshuffle their cards a little bit, for sure. I mean, as for today, Vandy, I think, has a really good chance. If I had to put a percentage on it, I'd say 60%.
Whoa.
Wow. Maybe a little high, but I really do think Vandy has a solid chance of beating Texas today.
Wow.
I don't know.
I love the optimism from Nick Frazier.
It's just, when you hear the news from, you know, On3 Sports about Isaiah Bond not playing, and this defensive back, who I cannot pronounce his name, unfortunately, I apologize to him, but he's a vital piece of their defense. 25 tackles, solo tackles, 2 interceptions, and then along with, you know, the quarterback issue. If Quinn Ewers is still half then you got to put Arch in there. I'm not saying Arch is not a terrible quarterback, but he's not a Quinn Ewers. So, like, that's where you get to the point of, Vandy's defense is going to step up to the game. I think Clark Lee has something up his sleeve today for the defensive side of the ball. Well, if they get a defensive turnover and or a defensive touchdown, that's where this game's decided.
And that Alabama game, they were missing Kendrick Law for that game too. So missing a wide receiver, it kind of plays in the same way. I think Vandy's got to get off to a good start.
Yes.
Which is the key in almost every game. But you saw it against Alabama. Vandy went down the field for that long 9-10 play touchdown drive. Second play on defense, Milroe throws a pick 6. Boom, you're up 13-0. They don't need exactly that. It doesn't have to be that snap, you're up by double digits. But they've got to start fast. They've got to set the tone.
Because they do.
If Texas goes up 14-0, Vandy's going to have a tough time.
They have very different play styles. Texas is more of an up-tempo, I don't want to say no huddle, but they're a very fast offense. Vanderbilt, as we've seen this season, kind of likes to take a slow drive. Play it. I mean, they're going on, what, 8 to 10 minute drives sometimes?
They had a drive in the second quarter against Alabama that was 9 minutes and 50 seconds.
Yeah.
Extended by a couple of Alabama penalties, but like, if you can have one of those drives for a touchdown and keep Ewers or Manning or whoever it is off the field, that's huge for Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
So let me pose a question to both of you. Yesterday when I was hosting with the suit, Charles McCabe.
Charles Keith
had
McCabe.
On Jordan Zaslow, who is actually doing some stuff over at Vandy today hosting. I asked him about the time of possession for Vanderbilt, and, you know, does Vandy need to attack them head on or do the possession game like they did against Virginia Tech and Alabama? And he mentioned, take them head on. And so, like, to y'all's point, is it a time where Vandy actually does need to do more time of possession rather than, you know, run and gun style offense?
I think you got to go with what's worked, right?
Yeah, you stick with what's gotten you this far.
Like, Alabama ran 45 plays in that game. Vandy ran like 70-something. Like, that's what you need. You need to out-snap them by 20 or 30. And as Andrew was saying, third down is going to be massive in this game because Vandy, the way they run their offense with so much quarterback run and option, they're going to be in a lot of 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3s. You got to get those. I think that's the difference in this game. Turnovers for sure. Like you've probably got to make Texas make a mistake or two. But I think those 3rd and 2, 3, 4s, can Pavia get the first down and extend the drive, chew more clock, get you down the field? That's going to be big for today's game.
Yeah, I agree. You did say something I want to disagree with you on. Oh. Arch Manning is better than Quinn Ewers, in my opinion.
Well, I was just saying either or. Like,
yeah, no, I
right
know.
Right now, is Arch Manning better than Quinn Ewers?
Right now?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think long term, yes, I would take Manning over Ewers. Like, if I'm looking at NFL prospects, I'd take Manning. But right now, is Arch Manning better than Quinn Ewers?
I don't know.
I don't know about that.
It's close. I'd say it's close.
It is close.
I disagree. I say Quinn Ewers is better. Just based off last week where Quinn Ewers couldn't get the offense going, and so they put in Arch, and then he couldn't get the offense going.
I think that was just Texas as a whole was struggling.
Yeah. But I mean, Georgia's just Georgia. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, who told you? You guys should listen to me more.
Connor anyway, Newt did.
He who did. Told you?
I was not here, so in my mind, he doesn't know anything. So.
Well. I know.
I mean,
I knew you were engaged before you said it, so I know all.
I don't know how you knew that. That was a good guess.
The Eye of Sauron.
I just looked at you, and I was like, This guy looks like a fiance.
See, David is the only one who follows me on Instagram around here. So Max yesterday,
let me fix that.
Found out. Nick Frazier found out. Brandon Aldridge already knew, because I guess Vandy mentioned it on the air last week or something like that.
So. Yeah, I came in blind. I had no idea.
Yeah, I had to tell Andrew because I missed the Ball State game last week, so I had to tell him why. So
I looked in your eyes and I saw...
You just knew.
Just love. I knew.
The last 2 weeks, Connor and I were on the same page. Today we're not. It's y'all two that are on the same page.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
There's a...
I just have chemistry with everyone here. I'm just that guy.
You're the glue guy around
the
here.
The glue guy. I'm Colton Sissons around here.
The glue guy.
615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to chime in. Also, you should answer our question of the day. Connor wants to know what song represents how you're feeling about your sports teams right now. We've already gotten a couple answers on the text line. We'd love to hear from you. 615-737-1025. We'll give our answers coming up at 10, but we're nearing a quarter till 10, and we know what time it is.
I'm encouraged. Guess who just texted me?
Who texted you?
Robbie Stanley.
What did he say?
He said, go get him, Connor Newt. So I'm going to go get him. This one's for you, Robbie.
Newt's Notes is next. You're on Four's Company, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Say his name and he appears. I believe in
Connor Newt.
I believe in
Newt's Notes.
Because you love London and Paris and Tokyo, America, Scotland, and
no introduction
Canada,
needed.
Mexico.
It's Newt's Notes time. Connor, take it away.
Okay. So last week, Jake, I don't know if you listened, the lists have returned. The top 10 countdowns have returned.
I saw you did mascots last week.
Yeah, it was a good hit. A lot of people loved it. So I'm back with another one this week.
I love it.
Let's talk college football entrances. Now, one of my favorite parts of the game, to be honest with you, for any team I've been to. I think the new college football game is kind of fueled. I've learned a lot about teams' entrances, actually. Some things I didn't know, some things, because there's a lot of detail in that game. So I have a top 10. Some of it may surprise you. We'll see.
I can't wait.
I hope you can, because we got to go from 10 to 1.
Let's do it.
Okay. Number 10, Clemson. Clemson Tigers.
That's the one that I was going to...
Really?
That Clemson fans love to think that running down that stupid hill is the greatest thing that's ever happened to college sports. I don't understand it.
It's unique. I don't think there's any team in the nation that does it like they do. But what ruins it for me is Dabo.
Yeah.
Just full... Running a 40 time. Just sprinting.
Yeah, I'm out on running down the hill. I could see it being 10. Like, I'm glad you put it there.
No, it's not top five.
Clemson fans think it is the best. They say it's the most iconic entrance in college football.
No.
You are running down a hill.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Somebody's going to tear their ACL, and then they're going to stop that.
Yeah. I mean, there are examples of it. Like, there was one, I think they were playing Notre Dame. You see the bus come in right behind the hill.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was cool. But anyways, number 9, I think this one hits home for you. Coach Lyman, the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Yeah. We're having a good start to year 4 of the Lyman era in Ohio State.
Yeah.
We're number 1 in the country.
Okay.
We got 11 5-stars locked in. So,
the Notre Dame Fighting Irish right now are 94 overall. Unreal.
There you go.
But I mean, Ohio State's got a great classic.
They do.
You see the script Ohio formation, they come out,
dot the I.
Mm-hmm. It's, I mean, and of course they got the scarlet and gray on always. Sometimes they wear the black, which I think is really cool. A lot of Ohio State fans don't like it, but I think it's cool.
Coach Lyman wears the black every once in a
while. Yeah. Coach Newt used to wear the black. Coach Newt would wear the gray. I love the gray.
The gray ones are good.
The grays are awesome. But at number 8, Auburn. The War Eagle.
Yeah, the War Eagle.
Soars over the field. That's about all that's special about that one.
I like that
one. But it's traditional. It's cool. Number 7, Coach Newt, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Yeah.
Come out of the tunnel.
Play like a champion
play
today.
Play like a champion. You hear the fight song, the gold light behind them. They come out, and then their kickoff tradition is cool because they play the Here Come the Irish song and then shipping up to Boston fires. And you can't beat Pete Weber in the Fighting Irish.
No, that Notre Dame is definitely deserving of being on this list. That's a good one.
It's a great one. That's... I never skip the intros anyway in the game, just because it's the tradition for me. But in the game, they do all of that, and then it flashes to see like players praying in the end zone. And I'm like, this is how I know I'm in the right place.
And
like,
it's a good buildup for when you play. Yeah.
Another Coach Newt team, my old team, number six, the Oregon Ducks. Oregon, they come out of the tunnel. They have the Just Do It as their bar. They touch that.
Yeah.
But the best part is Puddles the Duck comes out on a motorcycle, revving it up. And they play their fight song, which they have a great fight song, by the way. Really cool.
They do. I know. I've been playing Oregon because Big Ten. And yeah, that's a good fight song. It's up there.
I mean, they got it all. The uniforms, the fight song.
Puddles. Big fan of the uniforms.
Puddles.
With the orange face mask and the white helmet. The actual
the duck ones?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those are awesome.
Hands down the best ones.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Number five, LSU.
Yeah.
Of course, they come out in the tunnel. Purple and gold lights, the wind bar, and then they come out. You can't beat night prime time in Death Valley.
That is bucket list for me is a night game in Death
He's
Valley.
He's been there, and I want to. You've been there, right?
I have, and I sat at the very top of Death Valley, which is
oh
crazy.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Tickets
were like $35, and even at the very top of it, there were still great seats.
I love it.
Saw everything.
I mean,
it was a telecast view.
was that the game Mississippi State won?
No, they actually came back and they attempted an onside kick and they didn't get
okay.
it.
Okay,
so
yeah,
it was still a really good.
I'm
game.
With you. That's bucket list for me. I would love. I really want to go to every SEC stadium.
Yeah,
I've been to three: Vanderbilt, Alabama, Ole Miss.
I think I've only been to Vanderbilt. I don't know if
really?
I've been to another SEC football stadium.
My friends are trying to get me to go to Neyland, and I was like, I don't really want to do that.
That's one I wouldn't call Neyland bucket list for me, but it is one that I do want to see.
Yeah, I haven't seen my own team in Lexington. I've been to Rupp Arena. I've never been to Kroger Field.
I'm not a fan of the tailgating scene out at Neyland. It's just like
really,
you don't know where to go. You got to go to the right spots.
I wasn't a fan of the Grove, to be honest with you.
Don't
really?
You dare.
I mean, it's great if you're into that tailgating.
We got to get Nick Frazier and G10.
Listen, I know where to tailgate. I know where the party's at, and I just didn't like
Look
the
at
party.
It. Look at right? this guy.
Hey, this guy went to Father Ryan. He knows all about party.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do.
I don't think you took that the way I
Three
hoped
of
you
four
would.
Bishop's Cups. Yeah, we party.
Three of four. I won four of four. So.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Number four. Florida State, the Seminoles.
Yeah.
Can't beat the Seminoles, of course. Chief Osceola, is that it?
That sounds right.
Yeah, Osceola comes out on the horse with the flaming thing. Puts it right through the center of the
flaming stake. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Doing the war chant. Can't beat the Seminoles. I mean, a lot of teams can beat the Seminoles this year, but...
not their entrance.
Not their entrance.
Even the senior living assistants.
All 1,300 of their fans over there. Can't beat it.
Yep.
All right, we're in the top three.
Uh-oh.
Jake Wallman's looking at me like, where the hell are they? They're right here, number three, the Volunteers.
Power team.
I mean, there's one thing about the Vols that I do love, and that's their entrance. Power T opens up. Smokey the Dog, the real dog, comes out. Rocky Top, of course, playing. Crowd singing along.
Wait, well, now, are you going off the CFB entrances?
No, this is real life.
They don't play Rocky Top when the tee opens. They play down the field. But I'm being a stickler.
Okay.
Power tee, I think this is the one you thought that I was going to have a problem with. The power tee is awesome. That is a good
entrance. It's a great entrance.
Yep.
It's cool, especially at night. I feel like next week we're going to see some spooky Rocky Top.
Yeah. Ooh. Maybe.
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 Maybe a little blackout action. Number two. This is where Jake Lyman is like, don't you do it, and I'm not going to do it. I promise you. Penn State.
Okay. Yeah. That's respectable.
Whiteout, Penn State. You got the, what is it, Kerncrack 500? Is that the song or is it something?
What is the song?
You know what it sounds like. Anyways, they're doing the We Are Penn State chants.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of course, they come out locked arms.
Is that Zombie Nation?
Zombie Nation. Yeah. Yeah. The Nittany Lion opens the gate. That crowd goes absolutely ballistic.
I got to tell you, Coach Lyman, last season, we went to Happy Valley, whiteout, snow game.
Oh.
I was sitting there watching that entrance. I was like, we might lose by 50. Yeah. We won. 28-27 final.
Oh.
Not bad.
But I that entrance, you could feel it through the screen. I was like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I don't want to be playing this game.
Sidetrack. I'm at Notre Dame.
Uh-oh.
I'm in the big house this week.
Oh.
Prime time. I haven't played it yet, but I was like, what's this going to look like? So I opened it up. they are decked out in maize. And
maize.
Loud. But there can only be one answer. Hit it, woman.
There's a buildup.
Are you gonna chant or what? We gotta get
Let's go.
Okies. Oh yeah.
Do they still do the lunchbox, the pail?
The lunch pail, yeah. Even though Bud Foster's gone.
I mean,
yeah, I was back there last week. It never gets old.
You see the video. I think it was against North Carolina, maybe, a couple years ago. They were in orange. That is the best video on YouTube.
So the main reason why I wanted to go back last week is there was rumors that Metallica was going to show up and play it live. Last Thursday. It didn't end up happening.
Hey, they showed up in orange, though, and that was awesome.
Yes.
Those were awesome.
It was a fun one last week.
I like their helmets, too.
Yeah, the script Hokies on the side. That was cool. The best part about it is, like, obviously the jumping's fun. The best part is when they cut out the music ahead of the second chorus and the whole stadium sings.
That's my favorite
acapella,
part is that they sing it.
And it's usually, like, during the coin toss, and, like, it's electric.
The European mind cannot.
That is one, like... Again, I've seen Enter Sandman probably 50 times in my life. Never gets old. That is one, if you haven't seen it, that's one you should go to.
That's a bucket list for me.
Yep, it's up
there.
Those
top two are bucket lists. I would love to go to Whiteout.
Whiteout's up there for me, too. I wanted to... So, Tech was supposed to play Penn State the COVID year, and I think they might have done a Whiteout, and I wanted to go to that one, but they canceled it because of COVID, so...
My mom says the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders entrance beats all of these. Last time I checked, the Dallas Cowboys don't play college football. And I don't know.
I have one omission that I want to ask about. South Carolina. Sandstorm.
South Carolina was... I was heartbroken. There were a couple that I was like, these deserve to be on there. But there's so many good entrances.
I know. It is tough.
Alabama. I've seen that one in person. Actually, the last... home opener for Nick Saban. I was there. It was against MTSU.
Yeah.
But
any honorable mentions by chance?
Alabama, South Carolina, I'd throw up there.
No, Oklahoma?
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, well, yeah, with
Texas.
The buggy.
That's all I'm thinking about is the buggy.
Yeah.
Man. And then the
big... What's it called? The
Sooner
the
Schooner.
The Sooner Schooner, yeah.
Didn't it fall last week?
It did.
I feel like it falls more often
it falls
than
like
it should.
Once a year.
They just don't understand the curb weight in that thing.
Yeah.
Texas, where would be you know, Sark Evo. Screams at the guy holding him back, and then they go, is that a tradition, or does that just happen?
No, I think that's just
okay,
natural.
Gotcha.
I feel like there's Michigan, of course.
Yeah.
Iconic, the Blue Club supports you or whatever.
And not an entrance, but I will preface, Wisconsin jump around is one of the best traditions in college football.
Iowa wave at the – one of the nicest
over
ones.
Kinnick. You did a good job with that list.
It was hard.
I mean, it's tough to come up with 10 and leave out some of those. So I respect that list. There's nothing that I really have a problem with there.
Yeah. I mean, it's spot on.
If we are forgetting any, let us know on our text line, 615-737-1025. And also, we want to know what songs represent how you feel about your sports teams. That is our question of the day. We've got a couple answers on the text line. You can text 615-737-1025. You can also call us. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and we will give our answers coming up next. Here on Forest Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.